Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. My name is Jen. I'm the host for the updates, and I'm very happy to be joined this evening by someone who is the creator of two iPhone apps related to practice. Welcome, Pasha.
Hello, Jen. How are you?
I'm great. And you?
Very good. Thank you.
So I thought we'd do first things first and just help out anyone who might not be an iPhone user or maybe not even own a smartphone to tell us just in a few sentences what's meant by an app. What is an app?
What's an app?
It's a little hard to explain, isn't it, if you don't
yeah.
have
It's like a computer program, and nowadays their phones are so smart that they can run these computer programs.
Yeah.
So it's like a little program you can download, and there are like hundreds and thousands of those apps. Yeah.
Yeah,
you can use for different purposes. And the apps we are talking about Transform Your Life or Open Air. Those apps are specifically for the iPhones or iPod Touch or iPads.
So anything, any of those Apple-related products.
Yes.
So let's start with the Open Air one, since that's what we're on just now. And actually, it's really fun because I was sitting here waiting to be unmuted, and my app told me that it was time for the show. So maybe you could explain that one to us.
Yeah, totally. It's a one app that allows you to connect to open air wherever you are. So usually we listen to open air on a computer. So this app can connect directly to a live show, so you don't need to be in front of the computer. It can use a cell phone connection, so it's you can be somewhere on the road and connect to open air. And also it has a little reminder you can set. You know, so many people say they have a difficulty to call into a show because they call too late. So you can set a reminder, let's say 10 minutes before the show, it will ring the alarm or ring the bell to remind that the show is starting soon.
That is so great. Can't you just picture conditioning hates that? trying to just quietly lull people asleep right before the radio show and only to wake them up at a few minutes past six. Oh, my God, you forgot the radio show.
yeah.
This app is a little bit of a voice buster machine, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And another app is also similar to that. It has a little reminder that you can set not only once a week for the show, like in an open air app. For Transform Your Life, you can set a reminder for every day, and then the app will start at that time and bring the a page from the Transform Your Life for that day, and you can do this every day. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really I do that. So I have mine set for 6 p.m. So just in case. The conditioning has worked its magic and not had me stop and open the book and really look and consider and done my assignment for the day. At 6 p.m., my phone makes it's the bell, actually, isn't it?
Yeah. That's a bell, and it's actually the bell from livingcompassion.org.
That's right. It's our very bell.
yes. So it's a very similar, very familiar sound for both of the apps to sound the reminders.
And so it brings up the page of that day, and so you can do your little assignment. And one of the things I love, which I suppose is, you know, for people who have had iPhones forever, mine is fairly new, so it's all still novel to me, but you can actually turn the pages on the app. So you can kind of flip back to previous pages or go forward if you want to find your favorite one or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. It's like an electronic book. You can flip through the pages. You can... go to any page you want, like select a day. So it's just like a book. Plus, as an app, it has a reminder, and it's always with you. It's I remember being in a monastery or just you know, writing down the assignment for the day with me, so I can not forget or just have always with me.
Yeah.
But as an app, I mean, I always carry the phone with me, so it becomes even handier to have it there. Yeah.
Right. I confess that that was really the big thing that had me finally switch to get a phone that had all of these things on it, was that it's such an amazing practice tool. There are so many ways that that one thing can help me to come back to who I really am and what I want to remember and what I want to be practicing. And the Transform Your Life, as you say, it's so fun. Whenever I'm going through my day, now what was the focus for today? There it is. It's just right
Yes.
there in my pocket.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you mentioned that the phones are always with us. It's easier to carry, and there are so many things like for myself are kind of distracting during the day. Well, there is the emails, there is the calendars, there is so many things, and then so many apps, and then Transform Your Life comes in, and it always brings me feeling, oh, well, it's not only
Yeah.
distracting, it's something that brings me back or remind me to step in, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was blown away when I found out recently, you told me the download numbers. You can find out how many people have downloaded the app. That I think
Yeah.
over 1,000 people have downloaded the Open Air app. Is that right?
Yes. And yeah, Apple sends reports on how many people buy or get your apps,
Uh-huh.
and yeah, and it goes all over the world because those apps are free, and all you have to have is a phone, and you can download and play with them.
Yeah.
And I guess many people tried Transform Your Life is close to 10,000 people
Yeah, okay,
tried.
so I just have to really underline that one because when I got your email, I thought I misread it. So I'm sure people thought they misheard you. Almost 10,000 people have
Yeah.
downloaded the Transform Your Life app. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's just so fun to think, isn't it? Of just, as you say, the people all over the world who are sharing, who are Sangha, who are every day. You know, they're looking at what that message is. They're practicing. We're all doing this together. We're all putting our attention in the same, you know, beautiful place.
Yes, certainly, and it brings a feeling of a connection, and many people expressed gratitude in our app store for the apps and for the for Sherry to provide Transform Your Life for free. It's such a it's such a valuable tool, and it's available for free, which is amazing.
Well, it is amazing, and we must acknowledge that you played quite a part in that. That I was just going to say, you know, you glossed over the a minute ago offering it for free, but what a tremendous amount of work I know on your part has gone into making each app just so and really having it be a nice representation of practice. And so I wonder what moved you to do that, to offer these, to create these.
Oh yeah, it's so much fun to walk on them. It feels I mean, it's first of all, it's a great practice opportunity, but second, it's a chance maybe to give back to Sangha. I've been doing apps before, so it's something I know how to do. And there was a friend of mine who actually introduced me to Sherry's work, who said, oh, why don't you make an app based on one of the Sherry's book? And at that time, I said, well, I didn't know what book you're talking about. And then it started from there, and there's so many interesting things we discovered on the way, and so many people contribute and help. You know, somebody found a picture, somebody makes a drawing, somebody finds a font, and it all come together, and then becomes an app.
Yeah. And it is so much fun, isn't it? That it feels like
Yeah.
everything that gets created in practice is a team effort in some way. As you say, a lot of different people play a part in it, and how much fun it is to be able to take a skill that you have and use it as a way to give back, to express your gratitude for what you've received in practice.
Oh yes, it's such a great chance, and it's impossible to give back. It feels like
Yeah.
it's so many things practice brings, and I benefit from it in so many ways that it's very hard to compare. But
It is, isn't it? I feel exactly the same way. There's nothing I could do that would give back as much as I feel like I've been given.
That's true.
Well,
Yeah.
Tasha,
Yeah.
thank you so much for being with us. Anything else you want to tell us
Oh
about?
yeah. Before we go, I just want to well, maybe may pre-announce sort of there is a next app coming up which is in reviews right now. So to be finally approved, and it's called Practice Everywhere, and you can find it in App Store soon. It will bring Practice Everywhere messages right to your phone without any advertising
Oh,
within
excellent.
the app.
Wow. Oh, I didn't even know about that one. So a Practice Everywhere app that's in the works.
Yes.
Ooh, can't wait.
All
And
right.
I'm sure we'll be notifying the Sangha when that's ready to go, so stay tuned.
Yes, please.
All right. Well, Pasha,
All right.
thank you so much for what you've offered to practice, your participation in every way, and thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me tonight.
Okay.
All right.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
And
Bye.
we'll pass it over to you, Michael.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you,
Thank you.
Pasha. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm great. You know, it's so fun to start this show listening to good news. It's so fun. And it was fun for me to learn that there's a new app coming out. I mean, that's just incredibly exciting. Then the thing that I'm hoping that Pasha will do for us next in his spare time is create an app for recording and listening practice.
Oh, yes.
Wouldn't that, I mean, can you imagine what he could do with that? After what we've seen with Open Air and Transform Your Life and all of these other things. So
yes.
Who knows? Who knows?
Yes.
He might find the time for that. But we are so grateful to him for this. It's funny because, you know, people are surprised that, you know, monks with smartphones, that just, you know, it really goes against everything, all of their opinions and ideas. But listening to what Pasha was saying, you know, it's we have these things. It is how we live now. This is what goes on. And that it's as much a tool to bring you back, it can be used as much to bring you back as to distract you.
Yeah.
So, there's, you know, if a person is going to play games on a phone all day, well, then, you know, that's the life experience they're going to have. But if a person wants an ever-present tool to remind them to come back and be present, these little things will do the job. And the more things we have that do that for us, you know, the better off we are. So what he's doing is just an incredible gift to people, as he said, around the world, who are able to join in and be reminded by these simple little tools.
That's great. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are you up to?
I think I've been under attack for a couple of days.
Uh-oh.
And practicing dropping it.
Good,
and,
good.
That's my practice.
Yes. Dropping it and putting your attention to something more pleasant than being tortured.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. And the tweets have been helpful. I think one came through today to make a gratitude list, so I just stopped everything. And it's amazing with a gratitude list. You know, within a couple of seconds, I'm just in grateful space, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there, another perfect example of that, right? So a little tweet, you hear the little ding, and you read the message, and you stop, and you do it, and boom, you're right here. It's such a beautiful way to bring our life, take our lives back from egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate. You know, it gives us something powerful on our side when we have these reminders and practices that come to us all day long.
Yes, yes, yes. And I suspect that, you know, I've been practicing a lot, and so of course I'm going to be under attack.
You know, exactly.
Stepping out in new ways, doing stuff that's uncomfortable, and so to not be surprised by that.
Exactly. It's like, you know, you stroll out into that pasture with that bull, and you want to be ready to run because the odds are really good that it's not going to be a popular thing to be doing. So, yeah, and if we know and that and all of that stuff arises, it just gives us one more opportunity to see it for what it is, to see through it, to drop it, and, again, reclaim our lives. So it's a good deal. In fact, if people would get the hang of that, you know, almost everybody is conditioned to try to hide out so that conditioning doesn't get them. Well, conditioning is going to get you, and the fact that you're hiding out is all the information you need that that's the case. So to go on the offensive, you know, just find out, okay, what drives those voices? Great. All right, that's what I'm going to do. And, of course, anything with practice, anything that brings us into the moment is going to produce that result. And so there we are. You know, you get all your tools lined up and then do the thing that's going to make conditioning insane.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, like meditate, say.
Yes, a lot of gratitude for practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sherry, I have some announcements here.
Uh-huh.
You will be in Rhinebeck, New York, May 27th to 30th at the Omega Institute.
That is true.
You can register through Omega.
Mm-hmm.
And then the weekend of June 10th through 12th, you'll be leading spirituality and business at Esalen with Mark Lesser.
Yes.
That's in Big Sur, California. There is a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat at the monastery, June 18th through 25th.
Mm-hmm.
Where people have
a chance to practice with the five tools that are the foundation of our practice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. And then in July, you'll be leading Not What But How, a retreat at the monastery, and that's July 16th through 23rd.
Wait a minute. I said the wrong thing, didn't I? I thought that's the one that you just announced. But what did you just say?
The first one I announced was There's Nothing Wrong With You.
Oh, that's a different thing. That's a fabulous retreat, but it's not what I said.
Yes, and they're both fabulous retreats.
They are. Let's face it.
And then at the end of July, 29th and 30th, you will be leading a workshop at Namaste in Felton. What do power, success, and fun have in common?
Mm-hmm. Us.
Yes.
Oh, shoot, I gave it away.
And that's a fundraiser for the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Yes.
And then back to Esalen in August, the 12th through 14th, another weekend workshop. What do these questions have in common?
Mm-hmm. So we at Esalen, pardon me, Michael?
I said those questions are on the website in case people are curious.
Yeah. Okay. And so the first one with Mark is a focus on business and spirituality. And then the second one is just plain old spirituality for the fun of it.
Yes. Yes. And on October 1st will be the 10th annual Bridge Walk. Make plans to join you and the monks there.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm talking to people all over the country who are firming up their plans to get there for that day. So I think it's gonna be everything we've been hoping for.
Great.
Yeah.
I will be there. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic in about 5 minutes would be great.
Right.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea calling.
Hey, Andrea.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, well, I'm glad to be talking. I tried to call in for a while, and it just didn't work out, and so here I am, finally back again.
Good, good. What's been going on?
Well, I'm looking at I can relate to the hiding out and being assaulted, kind of attacked by conditioning, because that's kind of how I've been feeling, under attack. And what I'm noticing is it seems to be around work. It's this process where I have a honeymoon period, and then it just kind of gets me after 6 or 7 or 8 months.
That's the deal, isn't it? It's the promise. It's the promise. It's going to be different. This is great. This is it. And then there's that little period of time where it is, and then the dissatisfaction begins to build, and we're right back where we were before.
Yeah, and I've seen it now so many times. And even when I was at the monastery for a month, the exact same thing happened.
Yeah. Yep. And so what a perfect opportunity to see how it does that to you, right? How does it do dissatisfaction?
Well, what it does is it compares – what it starts out with, oh, these people are great, they're so nice, and then eventually it kind of is goes into kind of getting disillusioned with them and then comparing myself to them and not measuring up and then projecting that they don't like me or they don't respect me, and that's basically what happens.
That's the cycle every time.
Yeah, I mean, even at the monastery, I was comparing myself to people in the kitchen, and I didn't measure up. I wasn't assertive enough in cleaning up. And, you know, I mean, it's just, before I really thought it was because of my line of work, but now I see that it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just what it does.
Yeah.
And so what are you going to do? How are you going to, now that you know this, what's your strategy?
Well, my strategy has been to be practice as much as I can.
To be what?
To practice as much as I can.
Oh, uh-huh.
And to do a lot of the recording and listening, a lot of listening, actually. So when I'm walking to work, I'm listening to my recorder, and then when I'm walking home, I'm listening to the radio show and then doing the two chair exercise. And so what I've been doing is calling on my mentor. I've actually been remembering for the last week to actually say, mentor, what should I do now?
Uh-huh. Good for you.
Yeah.
And do you have, I'm sure you do, but just to check, you have recordings that that indicate, that spell out what the lies are that conditioned mind is telling you?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I listened to one today, which is called Fear of Success, which basically tells me that, first it tells me what conditioning does, that it compares me to this person and says I should be like them. And then what happens is the mentor comes in and says that, you know, you're who you are and you're your own person and you're going to do things your own way, and you don't need to compare yourself to this person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how does it say, people don't like you?
Yeah, well, today it was expressed as anger, so I felt like I wasn't, like I got a result, and I felt like I wasn't appreciated, and I felt patronized by one of the people, and like I had already done all this stuff, and they were saying, well, did you do all this stuff? And I already had, and I just felt like I wasn't respected, and so I felt angry.
Uh-huh. So in other words, it got a story going about this.
Yeah.
And then it projected onto the other person what it projects onto you, because it is patronizing towards you. It's constantly questioning you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, second guessing you.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't see that, but yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, so it does that to you, and then today, for variety, it did it to somebody else.
Interesting.
Yeah, so one of the things that might be fun, I think about the 30-day retreat, making a change for good. yeah. that it would be fun to take, I think it would be fun for you to do this, to take on a challenge like, I am going to be the unconditionally loving presence at work that I want to have be there for me.
So are you saying unconditional loving presence towards other people or
yep.
towards?
Toward you mm-hmm. and toward everybody.
That's
so
kind of, oh, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, it's just, you know, you're looking at this environment. It's a bunch of conditioned people working in conditioned circumstances. You know, everybody suffers. We know that. Everybody is going through exactly the same thing. So can you go in there with the attitude, with that in mind, and then help work toward, without judgment or comparison from conditioned mind, but just to take it on as a project to try to create as much of an atmosphere of unconditional love and acceptance as you can manage. So that includes assuming the best about everybody, mm-hmm. being appreciative of what everybody does, acknowledging people, you know, all of the things that each of us wants, but instead to do that,
yeah.
offer that.
Oh, boy, that's great you say that, because that really hits home, because I actually have consciously done that this week, and not like all the time, but I was able to break through the conditioning and say, you know, why not assume the best of this person, because I'll be happier, and who cares what they're really thinking?
Yeah, exactly, because they're probably under the same kind of siege that you are, and they're probably fighting it as well, you know, trying to do the best they can to have the best life they can have and to be the contribution they can be in the face of endless unpleasantness from conditioning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and underneath whatever is going on, you know that their authentic nature is goodness. So if we just approach everybody as that authentic nature, then we can all have a better chance of really living in that place of kindness and understanding and compassion and caring.
Yeah, I mean, it's yeah. so amazing you say that, because I've been able to actually kind of get there when I'm in bed asleep. I can, like, when I'm in bed, kind of, I can say, I love you, I love you, I love you to myself and experience that.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So that now that becomes the mantra all the time, right?
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, it's like, I think what's so amazing for me is to have an experiential level where I've actually experienced this unconditional loving kindness mentor, you know, maybe not as much as someone would like, but that I've even had the experience is amazing.
Yes. Yes. Yep. And so then we know where we're going and we just start repeating. And the thing about no judgment, no comparison, no criticism, you know, I'm not doing this as a contest. I'm not saying I'm going to do this every moment of every day for the rest of my life. It's a practice. I'm going to channel Gandhi, and I'm going to see what that's like. What stops me? What gets in the way? How do I get distracted? How do I get talked into forgetting? What's the story that overrides my commitment? Good, I've seen that. I'm going to drop that. I'm going to get back to my commitment.
And then build the 30-day retreat around that.
Yeah. Doesn't that sound fun and exciting?
It does. I'm not sure how to make it measurable, but it does sound fun.
Well, you just, you know, at the end of the day, you just review all of the examples that you can come up with for, you know, all of the moments of unconditional love and acceptance, all of the moments of, you know, extending loving kindness, whether it's a thought, a word, an action, and with that, you know, you can start adding in recognizing it from other people as well.
Okay. That's kind of like a gratitude list, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every day.
Yeah.
What fun. Can't wait to go to work so you can see what happens.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Sherry. Thank
you. Oh, you're so welcome. Let me know how it goes.
Yeah. I'm grateful for the practice. Gassho.
Gassho. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and Stop, Drop, and Breathe, and then we'll be back.
All right.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Beth.
Hey, Beth. How are you doing?
Well, totally surprised to be on the air.
Uh-huh.
It seems like the weeks that I really try to get on the air, no luck. And tonight I didn't have any hope.
And then you go, oh, well, it's not going to happen anyway, and poof, there you are.
Exactly.
Kind of like life, isn't it?
And I'm unprepared. I have no question.
Good. Isn't that excellent? So just tell me how life is. What have you been working on? What have you been looking at? What's practice?
Okay, well, practice is not taking myself so seriously.
Ooh, isn't that always a good idea? Because the myself that I want to take seriously is all conditioning, isn't it?
Well, it's real. When I'm serious, I'm real.
Yeah, which is all conditioning.
Yes, because I'm not real. And I haven't got myself around that yet because there's a part of me that still believes I'm real.
Well, it's that ego wants to believe that it's real. Certainly there's a Beth.
Or eternal.
Yeah, certainly there's a Beth, but she hardly ever gets to be a part of life because ego is hogging all the space.
Yes. Yes.
And ego definitely wants to be eternal.
Yes. Well, yeah, I do want to be eternal.
No, ego wants to be eternal.
Right.
And it has no interest in Beth being anything except a vehicle.
And no interest in me in whatsoever.
Nope,
and
none.
Yeah. And right now, Pittsburgh has undergone like 2 weeks of rain. Every day just rain. And it's been sunny and 70 for like the last 3 days. And everything is just bursting out. It's this intense green I don't think I've ever seen since, well, whatever. And there's just all this life just kind of like, you know, bursting.
Yep.
Glory. I'm not allowed to enjoy it.
Oh, because?
Well, because I have to worry about this stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got it. Yeah. You can't enjoy life because you've got to worry about stuff.
Yes.
You know, I will say that you've captured in that one simple little sentence the life experience of just more people than we can even imagine. I mean, it sounds silly when we say it like that, but that's what people are doing. I can't enjoy life because I have to worry about all this stuff.
How am I going to make money? The economy's crashing. The world is crashing. Just constant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just constant. But at the same time, the hillside is just bursting with green, and my cats are just kind of frolicking with each other amongst all this intense green.
Have they not heard about the economy?
They don't seem to be worrying about much.
They're not worrying about where their next can of cat food is going to come from?
They don't seem to be concerned.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it?
And they don't seem to need the top shelf stuff either.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we could learn much.
Willingness is the key.
It really is, isn't it? And you know, it's so that the thing about it is, you know, we always say this, but nobody seems to really grasp it. If worrying about it were going to help you, I would support you. I would join you. I would worry with you. But
if
instead,
it actually did something, I'd be willing.
Yeah, but instead, you don't get to have life because you're
or
doing
sleep.
Something that is absolutely useless. The only thing it does is make you unhappy.
It takes life away.
Yeah. It's not getting you any money. It's not getting you any jobs. It's not getting you anything. It just sucks the life out of you.
Again and yet again.
Mm-hmm.
Willing, it's, you have the, with the daily recollection, there's a thing that we say at the monastery, or the thing that's said at the monastery of, we're not here to create and cling to beliefs.
Yep.
And
we're here to pay attention.
We're here to pay attention. And it's kind of like I find myself again and yet again clinging to beliefs.
Yes. Well, identified with ego. That's the
yes.
key part of that. You will always cling to beliefs as long as you're identified with ego. That there, it's the same thing. You can't ever hope to let go of clinging to beliefs as long as you are identified with ego. It's just a waste of time.
It's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
It is a waste of time. There does seem to be, it's like I see through this trap, but then there's like this next subtle trap that
yes.
I'm still kind of constantly trying to see through.
Yes. Well, and that's why the simple, I know it's
simple.
Yeah. But the simple way out is to put your attention on where you want it to be. Because there's no trap involved. There's no beliefs, no assumptions, no, you don't have to figure anything out. There's just, practicing keeping your attention where you want it to be.
Which is what I think I really want to say is that I'm still practicing.
Yes. And so instead of every time there's a conversation about anything.
Yes, even practice.
Yes, you're dropping it and coming back here. Well, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. I'm dropping that and coming back here. Well, but I need to, no, actually I don't. I need to not be doing that. I need to put my attention here.
Yes. Thank you. I love you. again.
Is there more?
Again and yet again.
All right, so you're going to enjoy the spring?
It's... Yeah. as much as I try to ignore it, it's jumping out at me.
Good. Yeah. Life never gives up on us, no matter how often we give up on ourselves and give up on it.
And that's beautiful to hear. I'm going to listen to this recording and try to hear it.
Good. Don't try. Just do.
No matter how many times I give up on life, life doesn't give up on me.
Never. Never. Isn't that good?
Thank you, Sherry.
You're very welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Isabel calling from California.
Hi, Isabel.
Hi.
How's life with you?
You know, generally it's really great, and this practice is really, it is transforming my life.
I love that.
Yeah, me too. The voice is like, they weren't kidding in that tagline that, you know, transforming lives, ending suffering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true, isn't it?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. So what I'm calling about is, so I'm looking at the content and the process, and the content is that I called a little while back, and I have just avoided listening to that show in the archives because I know there will be all sorts of beatings. Even just calling was a huge opening for all sorts of vicious beatings. And I'm seeing that when I think of listening to it, I get really identified with someone who believes what the voices say.
Yes. Yes. So all the grown-ups leave the room, and there's just a little girl there surrounded by the bullies, and she's just stuck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so what are you going to do?
Well, I do want to protect her.
Yep.
Some of the things I've been doing over the last few weeks has been turning towards the voice and writing down what it's saying.
Mm-hmm. Hates that, doesn't it?
It does.
Yep.
And I can relate to what you said at the beginning of the show about like the being under assault and the kind of like duck and cover.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do that, it doesn't help.
Oh, no.
No.
I mean, running from a bully is just never a good life strategy. It isn't.
Okay.
So shall I give you something to try?
Please.
Okay, so whenever, probably right after you get off of this show, you know, after we're finished, be a good time to do it. You get the little girl, you take her by the hand, take her in, put her in your bed, and cover her up, give her a little, you know, something to hold on to, a pillow or something. You say, now you stay right here. I'll be right back. I'm going to go do something, and I want you to be here and safe and protected while I do it. And then you close the door, go in the other room, and listen to that archive.
Okay. Fear comes up immediately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's the deal. So, you know, I mean, it's one of those classic, you're in your bed at night, you hear a noise somewhere in the house. I mean, you know, you can, it's kind of like you can lie there and give yourself a heart attack from fear, or at some point you just have to get up and find out what the heck it is.
Yeah.
And of course, the odds are really good. It's going to be nothing. And if it is something, well, at least you might as well be up going toward it as, you know, just lying there helpless in misery.
And then if it, I guess I so I'm thinking of like putting her in the room, and then it seems like maybe it would be helpful to watch really carefully, like if I start shifting back into
yes.
that other identity.
Yes, so you want to get that pen and paper out, right? So you're
yep.
going to be listening. You're going to be listening and writing down everything that it's saying. Get everything fired up. Get all ready. You're writing down what it's saying. You listen. You turn it on. You start listening to the archive, and you're writing down everything that it's saying. I was kidding somebody last at the retreat in North Carolina last week about, you know, painting a big S on your T-shirt. You know, getting a T-shirt and painting a big S for Superwoman or Superman or whichever is appropriate.
Oh.
You know, and if you had one, then you would definitely want to put that on before this operation.
Oh, I like that idea. I could definitely find an outfit to put on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going, you know, you're going up, you know, you're David going up against Goliath. You know, you want to get your equipment ready, and then, you know, just say, hey, I'm coming after you. Here we go. What do you got
yeah.
to say? I'm going to write it down.
I'm going to write it down. Okay.
And then when you listen to it, and it's perfectly fine, which I can promise you it's going to be, and there's the huge, you know, you have a big celebration for the victory. Then you go in and get the little girl and tell her what happened and how you vanquished the bully and
Okay. Because what I'm seeing happens when I like do sometimes turn to look at it, it's like a lot of her painful feelings come up, like from having believed it for so long,
mm-hmm.
like a lot of shame and sadness, and those feelings kind of tend to like make it seem real.
Yes, and so that's what you can add that to what you're writing down. There's feelings of this, and I don't need to feel that any longer. That's not valid. There's no truth to that. That's just an old habit. What we're doing now is celebrating being free. What we're doing now is facing down the bully and ending this torment.
Yeah. So write down the feelings too.
Yep. Yep. The everything that's said and the feelings and what they mean. And
yeah.
And then. Also add, and of course this is all going to be recorded and listened to, right? So then you add what is actually true.
Mm.
So that happened because there was a little girl who was abandoned to face all of this alone, and that's how she felt, and she's not alone any longer. And so those feelings, they're irrelevant now. Now we're focused on the happiness. Now we have an opportunity to live in joy. That's what we're doing now.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And you bring her into that joy. You know, don't let her get pulled back into that, because that's, of course, what conditioning wants to do, is start that story and pull you into it, and then the feelings are there again, and the feelings are the proof that it's true, and it's, you know,
yeah,
sliding downhill.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
You got the paint for the outfit?
Did you say the paint?
The paint.
Oh, to make an S. Yeah, well,
I
have a shirt with actually a little superhero embroidered on it, so I can wear that.
Perfect.
And I'm thinking maybe like a celebration afterwards, even just something like going for a nice walk or...
Precisely. The two of
yeah.
you just... Go for a nice walk on a spring evening.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Okay, great. Thank you, Sherry.
Let me know, huh?
I will.
Okay. And remember, one other thing. You know, you only have to do this once. Okay? You only have to go up against this one time to prove to yourself that all of that is lies and to have an experience of what is really so. Now, that doesn't mean it's not going to try to do it to you again, because it will. It'll try to get her alone, catch you off guard, pull her into old stories and feelings. But you, as soon as you face it down, you will know in the deepest part of you that it actually has no power to do anything to you at all.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Yeah? The superhero is in control, and as long as she's there taking care of the little girl, there's no problem. When you forget and go unconscious, same old is going to happen. That's okay, because as soon as you come to again, you'll know what to do, and you know that you can.
Mm-hmm. I do feel like I'm starting to have that experience when I face it down and actually starting to get a little taste of, like, unconditional love. Like, it completely doesn't matter if these things even were true.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the turning point. That's the... And that's the going around the corner and breaking into a trot. You know what I mean?
I do. It does feel a bit like turning a corner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll
very exciting.
Keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me know.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Isabel. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do. And we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hi, this is George.
Hello, George.
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Michael.
Hi.
We are having a primarily East Coast evening.
Oh, once again, yeah.
Yes, is it spring where you are?
Oh, it sure is. It's just wonderful. I just had my nose in apple blossoms today.
A wonderful place to have.
Have a nose.
So what's going on?
Well, the recording and listening has been working so well, and the tweets and everything. My life feels like my life is full of practice, and
good.
And practice is full of life, and
mm-hmm.
yeah. So, what I wanted to focus on tonight was communication with my wife, who, you know, it's when you start living this practice, and the old beliefs and assumptions and conditioning drop away more and more, and you're in that place of presence and, you know, letting life lead you and all of that, which just happens more and more. Then someone who still believes in mistakes and regret and, you know, kind of like, well, I wish we hadn't done that. If we had only done it this way, you know, and we should have done it that way. And if we had been smart, we would have done it that way. And then that wouldn't have happened, and we wouldn't be where we are now, and so on. And I'm having a hard time handling that. To bring in the compassion. I mean, because I can't agree with it because I'm in a different place, but I know that place.
Yeah.
And therefore, if I try to, say something like, well, it's, you know, now we know that, you know, now we didn't know that at the time, or we did the best we could, and now we're here,
yeah.
And so on and so forth, and usually the response is something like, I just can't talk to you about anything. I don't know how to
yeah.
talk to you anymore. And
yeah.
I know that there's a way to be. That is open and compassionate and, you know, not getting into that state of, well, you know, if only she knew what I knew, if only she had the understanding that I did, then she wouldn't be the way she is, and, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah,
which
both of you playing the if-only game, but with different content. She's
right.
saying, if only we hadn't done that, and you're saying, if only she could understand. It's not helpful.
No, that's not helpful at all. So,
and so what about reflecting? What about reflective listening?
So, yeah.
Because I project what she really wants is to be heard.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, not talked out of her experience, not fixed, not, but to have somebody understand how she's feeling.
Yeah, rather than set up any kind of dualistic, well,
yeah.
you know, here's the attitude we could have, you know.
Yeah.
I have tried that in a course, but I say, why are you repeating everything that I'm saying? So I have to find a way. Oh, you're doing that reflective listening, and then she'll settle
that. Yeah, and of course the answer is yes, I am, because I really want to hear what you're saying.
Yeah,
I don't want to put my spin on things. I don't want to
mm-hmm.
give you my opinion. I want to hear what you're telling me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we sometimes have to be prepared for the fact that people don't feel heard, all this is in quotes, don't feel heard unless we agree with them. So that does get to be a hard place. And I'm going to hope that you can just avoid ever stepping into that giant hole.
Yeah.
You know, that just listening to her and agreeing that it's a really hard place, it's difficult to face these things. You know, it's painful to look back at decisions and feel like it was a mistake or that, you know, that's a really hard place to be. We can all agree with that. And then hopefully she won't say, and do you agree with me that if, you know, because then your back's going to be against the wall and you're going to be in a position of having to say, well, I don't have that same experience, but I hear that you do. And I want to, you know, what's important to me is that I understand how you feel as best as I can, and that I'm here to do whatever I can to help, to, you know, whatever we can do from now forward, I'm here. And that's about the best you're going to be able to do, I'm guessing.
It's very, very tricky.
Very tricky. It's like landmines because
landmines to the right.
because a lot of what happens to us, of course, is we get identified with that kind of position that she's in. And when that identification takes over, it's a big part of the identification is to get somebody to fight with. And so avoiding somebody who's trying to fight with you, to try to stay out of fighting with them when fighting with you is what they're trying to do, is really challenging.
At least.
And so, I mean, to me, it's really helpful and important to remember that that's not what she wants. You know, that's the identity that has grabbed her.
Yeah.
That's what it wants. And so, you know, that can make it easier to stay as, you know, best as you can in an unconditionally loving place as both of you try to get through the field of landmines.
Okay.
Woo!
Good stuff.
Your job.
I appreciate that, Sherry. That's really very helpful. And I will listen to this recording, I'm sure, many times and write it down and go over it and practice it. And I will get back to you and let you know how it's going.
Yeah. And above all, don't let those voices make it a contest for you. Because, you know, you're just going in there. It's a workshop. You know, you're going to do the best you can do. And fortunately, because it's your living situation, you'll have lots of opportunities to practice.
Lots of opportunities. I'm on retreat.
Yeah. Over breakfast. All right. Well, you keep in touch, huh?
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, George. Good night.
Good night, Sherry. Good night, Michael.
Good night. Thank you for joining us, George. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Todd calling. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Todd.
Hi. How are you guys?
What's going on with you?
Oh, I just love talk of spring. I'm sitting in my backyard for the first time.
Very good.
It has sprung in Canada. We can give the report.
Is it up to 42, 43 degrees now?
Yeah, I think it just peaked at 50 today, but with
wow.
the proper clothing, we can sit out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and the
Perfect.
Grass has just turned, and the trees got buds on them. They're ready to go into leaves, and I saw some bulbs come up, some crocuses come up.
Excellent.
Very exciting. Get some color into the landscape.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, very exciting. Very exciting to get come out of this long, super, it felt like a long winter for a couple
yes.
subs anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I love that feeling.
Right. A couple subs that want to live on a tropical island somewhere in the
yes.
you know, near the equator.
Yeah, at least for about 4 months out of the year.
Yes. Yeah, that's where we have our huge flock of snowbirds up here in the north that go south for 4 months of the year and then come back when it's
You can't hardly blame them.
That is so true. I was really appreciating the previous caller. That was almost my experience, word for word.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You want to say more about that?
Well, I didn't realize it. That a lot of the time when I'm in discussions with my wife, I get identified and she gets identified, and it's that struggle to be right and to have the other person agree with their experience when it's not each of our own experience. And I didn't see that till the previous caller.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, well, yeah, that's not my experience, but I hear that it's your experience is so much more helpful, and to reflect. You know, and I do get resistance to reflective listening. I do it quarterly, and I do it regularly, but I do get sometimes a lot of resistance when I start to do it, and then she says, I don't want that, you know, and then I tend not to I just kind of do that, yeah, right, uh-huh, oh, yes, because that, for me, kind of clears them left minds as well.
Yes, so
I'm just
you're not agreeing.
Right,
you're
I'm not
acknowledging
agreeing.
That you're hearing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not reflecting because there's sometimes her identification won't allow the reflecting.
Yes. It can be done in some cases to some degree, but if a person is really identified and that identification is looking for an excuse to explode, then it's dangerous.
It is so dangerous, but. Those opportunities when I'm going to project, she gets a little more centered and disidentified, I'm able to reflect. In fact, she'll even say, can you reflect back?
Yeah.
That is so, it just seems so much, supportive for each other. And I'll say to her, would you mind reflecting back what I'm going to talk to you about?
Yes.
And she'll say,
It's great to do that when it's not a personal issue.
Yeah.
Right? So that's
right.
One of the ways that couples can really practice that together is, you know, reflect me about something at work or something that happened with another member of the family or something.
Yeah.
And then it gets to be a habit so that when it's between the two of you, it's easier because there is that acknowledgement that I really am trying to be here as much as possible for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that's a real disidentifying tool for me. If I can stay present, I'm less likely to slide into, for me, it's usually a very young person who is struggling and who should not be in the conversation, should not be present.
Yes.
They really aren't in and out. They have no, you know, ability to handle an adult situation, which those conversations are about.
Yeah, and that's such a good point, Todd. You know, one of the things that would be really great with people getting to a certain point in practice is calling on adults. You know, we need to have a talk about something that's going on with us. Could we bring in the grown-ups?
Wow. That's,
you know,
yeah.
You kind of make a date and the grown-ups are going to have a conversation, and then you decide, you know, who's going to reflect first, and, you know, you set a timer, and let's make sure that we're both, you know, so it really, it's the right people attempting to do the work.
That is a great encouragement, just to bring that conscious awareness to that, bringing the adults to the table here. We're going to bring some conscious compassionate, you know, some maturity, the little ones are going to be protected from that, which most of the time for me, they're the ones that are firsthand receiving the adult information, and it's not helpful for them. They don't know what to do with it. They can't process it, I don't think.
Right. It all just makes everybody feel worse.
Yeah, it's true. That is so true. It makes everybody feel worse. The adults mm-hmm. and the little ones. Or the mm-hmm. adults, the little ones in the adult bodies is what my experience is.
Yeah. And then the adults usually get beaten afterwards for not having been there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or the kids yeah. get beat. Everybody gets beaten. Let's face it, everybody gets beaten.
Right.
And
yeah,
so
true.
Practicing that disidentification, that in itself, it would be incredible practice. You know, any time before anything, a meeting, any kind of a conversation that's anything other than just fun and play, you know, sometimes
yeah.
friends get together and, I mean, you don't need to disidentify because you just want to see whoever is there and that sort of
yeah.
thing. But if
yeah.
it's a business situation or, you know, you need to get on the phone and take care of something or whatever, to
mm-hmm.
sit there and consciously evoke the grown-up who can take care of all the kids and then do the thing that needs to be done.
Yeah, right as you're saying that, I know we're coming to the end of our time, but that just happened to me the other day. I have this really wounded money person, Mikey, that's just so wounded with financial money issues, and I had to phone and reorchestrate our home and car insurance, and I literally sat down before I pressed the number on the phone and said, okay, little Mikey, you're going to go aside. You're not here. I do have a financial person in me, though, a lot older, a lot more versed, has business experience. I said, okay, Michael, you know, kind of antithesis of each other, you're the one I need right now. I need you to help me kind of, you know, get through this whole financial insurance thing. And I spent an hour on the phone with the agent, and it was just painless.
Uh-huh.
Because I was
yes.
there, and I conjured up, or I didn't conjure, but you called up, as you said,
yeah.
the adult, or the one that has the expertise in dealing with financial matters.
Precisely. Yeah,
and it was beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, that's the key, isn't it? And fortunately, since it's finances, he is a grown up.
Yeah, he is a grown up. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's
he's a
his thing, and he likes doing it. He has the expertise, so let him be there.
Knows the questions to ask. Knows how
mm-hmm.
to negotiate with another adult who's usually there, the broker he's identified with his career, his position. He'd been doing it 20 years, so they're very on par with each other.
Yes.
Because they know they were
yeah.
speaking the same language because they had the same financial experience, you know, relatively to the
yeah.
issues that was being discussed.
Yep.
Yeah,
perfect.
Very amazing. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good. Thank
well,
you.
I'm
glad spring has sprung. And
yeah.
Me
too.
You're enjoying it.
Thank you so much, Sherry. And thank you, Michael.
You're
Thanks.
Welcome.
Good night, Todd.
Right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Wow, what a privilege.
What a joy, huh?
What a joy. Every week.
We have a great sangha.
We have a great sangha. You said it.
Yeah. Really good people. And so here's the thing that everybody can kind of consider. We have a really great sangha. It's made up of really great people. If you're a part of that sangha, you know what that means for you.
You're going to make me get all teary here.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Talk to you next week.
Okay. Good night.
Bye.